Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast on stage at Enchanted Forest.
Ma'am, I'm going to tell you what. Of all the situations that we've been in, this is the strangest place that you've ever put me in my life.
I'm obsessed with this.
I haven't been so excited. The stage for any kind of performance since I was in middle school.
Yeah.
It's kind of given me the same anxiety as I used to get when I would go up on stage.
Yeah, you know, the swing is really helping my anxiety.
I wish I had some
I think you can probably hear it like clanking around in the audio.
Yeah. But, I wish I had some sort of fidget
device. It's also our first podcast with an audience.
I know.
There's three people watching us talk right now.
Incredible. And shouting.
Yay! So I have spoken a lot about Enchanted Forest in passing, I feel, in my videos and on the pod. And I'm not sure if I've ever actually like explained what it is.
Can I try to explain what it is?
But yeah, this is your first time here, so maybe you can give like a first impression.
Yeah. Okay, so broad strokes, Wikipedia definition. Enchanted Forest is like a little Disneyland. But here's my opinion of it. There are things about Enchanted Forest that I think are cooler and better than Disneyland, Disney World.
Agree.
Would you agree?
I would agree strongly. Yes.
All right, I'm going to go down my list of things. So
okay.
The way the Enchanted Forest works is just like any theme park where you go in and you to get a giant spoon and then you sit on a huge chair. you buy a ticket and you walk in and you see things and there's like a little Western town and a little a house, a scary house. There's a...
There's quite a few scary houses, I would say.
There's only one that's called a scary house, but yes, I would agree that multiple of the houses... I'm sorry, scary house, haunted house. There's only one haunted house.
Officially haunted, yes.
But there are
many scary ones.
Scary houses. And so you walk around and there's rides and blah, 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 so on and so forth. The thing that I like about Enchanted Forest is that, I'm sure this isn't actually true, obviously for liability reasons, this can't possibly be true. But the vibe of it, it feels like you're not being watched by anyone. That it almost feels like, when you go through that little tunnel, that there's no security cameras.
You mean like opposed to Disney where you feel like you're being watched all the time?
Yeah, it's like you always know. And again, obviously this couldn't possibly be the case. But it feels like when you're at Disneyland or whatever, you can always see like there's the exit sign and oh, there's a secret staff member and it's always, you know, whatever. And here it feels like you're in a place that a person built. And then sometimes, particularly, there's this... I don't know if you guys can hear that. There's people hollering outside.
That's the sound of people falling.
There's this little tunnel
from the sky
that you crawl through at like right by the entrance. And it's just
Alice in Wonderland tunnel.
It's like this big that you have to go through.
Yes.
Pitch black.
Memories of birth.
It did feel like getting birthed. And through the whole
pitch
thing,
black.
There's no lights.
No lights. No carpet.
There's no pee. There's nothing. It's just a stone tunnel that you crawl through that feels like you're actually spelunking.
The vibes of Enchanted Forest are there are many dark tunnels. And I love that there's so many things about this place, I think, that are a little bit accidental just by way of how homemade and homecrafted it is.
Yeah.
Like when you think about, okay, I want to sculpt a tunnel for kids to crawl through to get to Wonderland. Maybe you just don't think of having lights or skylights or whatever. You just make a tunnel. And then it's like a byproduct of the fact that you made the tunnel and it gets pitch black in the middle because there's a little curve around the corner. And then they just leave it like that.
I do think probably in terms of being like a Alice in Wonderland related moment, it probably actually was scarier than what she went through in the movie.
Yeah.
Relative, like by comparison, because she seemed really relaxed that whole film. And I was getting slightly anxious going through the tunnel. And part of that is it's built for probably someone smaller
than me. The tunnel goes on a little bit longer than you think it's going to.
Well, you don't think, you can't even perceive how long it is going to go on.
Right.
But it feels like in any other place, they would have made it shorter and less frightening.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the tunnel mostly because that was like the first moment that I had that transcended like what I thought this place was going to be like.
Yeah. Because that's the first moment where you have to buy in. You walk in the park and you see a lot of these little dioramas of fairy tale situations, classic fairy tales. And then the tunnel is the first like interactive piece where you're like, oh, okay, I'm starting to see what this place is. We're going to be crawling into a lot of holes.
You do crawl into so many holes.
But yeah, so like for a little bit of backstory though, this place was basically like built by one guy. It was like one guy's dream. We were just in there in the gift shop watching the documentary, and he said he was looking for a plot of land for a theme park, and he looked across the highway and he sees this plot of land, which is a steep hill covered in thick trees.
Yeah.
And he said, I want that one.
It's and it, yeah, not the type of place you would think, like not a big piece of farmland that you would put an amusement park in. But this was in like the 60s. It said he bought it for like $16 or something like that.
I'm sure it was.
Or whatever it was.
I'm sure it was three magic beans.
It was three magic beans and he got the thing and the beanstalk. This was the beanstalk that was there when he first bought it.
But so he's done like all of the sculptures. Everything's like sculpted out of concrete. And another, I think, like side effect of the process that I like is that everything is very like just kind of a random art project that you throw together where it's not necessarily measured very well. All of the houses are a little bit too small, but it's because it feels like it was made by a person.
Wait, when was Disney invented? The land?
When was Disneyland?
That was because didn't they build this in like, what did it say, 1960, 70, 71, something? Wasn't Disneyland like less than 10 years before that?
I don't know.
Because that's crazy. Because I feel like there's some nodding happening over there. Yeah. So think about that, right? Because the art of a three, and I obviously think about this all the time because it is like building a video game, only way, 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 way harder because it's a big physical space.
Yeah.
But I feel like the art of space design is something that nobody even thought about and nobody really appreciated until like the last 15 years when we got YouTube videos about like the Imagineers at Disney. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this guy out here in Oregon who's just putting a bunch of rocks together.
He's making it up.
He's making it up, but doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
Like if you think of it in terms of the way that the, you know, there we read a little plaque and it was like the guy who made it, I can't remember his name, but shout out.
Roger.
It was
right,
like
Roger
we didn't want to do any, there. We wanted as like few straight lines as we could get. And so he was thinking about a lot of stuff that I feel like, man, if like I didn't really connect those dots.
Yeah.
That this was basically around the time that Disney happened. And I don't think maybe for other reasons, but they didn't really mention. It wasn't like in the documentary he was like, I went to Disneyland and I just thought it was the bee's knees and I decided to make my own. It was like a very...
It's very unique, yeah.
It was very art-driven kind of thing. So I kind of want to make a theme park now. I don't know how much it
costs. I know. It's inspiring to me because... when you read the story, there's like many points where lots of people were telling him he was crazy, right? Because it's a crazy idea. And then it just reminds me that when people tell me I'm crazy for my ideas, that sometimes you just got to do it anyway.
Do you think that he lost any friends from, I probably shouldn't say that. We're not going to go down that road. I just think it'd be a really stressful thing because if you're doing something that a lot of people think is really crazy, it like I said on one of the plaques, it was like his wife was like, "You can't quit your job. If you want to do this, that's fine."
Yeah, I certainly can't imagine the sheer hours put into the concrete sculpting.
Imagine
there's pictures of this guy concrete sculpting every single thing in this park.
And how fun it would be to be his kids at the you assume, you hope, I guess, because a lot of them still like work here or whatever. Yeah. It's like what a magical thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of in awe of it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I feel like in some sense I was coming in here with the idea that it was like dumpy and like badly, like just kind of old and almost like an abandoned theme park vibe, but it's like a real place.
It's very
like
alive.
Put together. Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Arguably more alive.
Lines going down
Disney.
The thing. So.
Not that we're here to slander Disney, but maybe we are.
I like Disneyland.
I have no ties.
I like them both.
Do you have any sponsorships related to Disney?
Not yet.
Okay.
Soon. Next year.
Then,
we'll see.
Then we don't care.
Hey, can I talk about volcanoes?
Sure.
Or should we talk more about Enchanted Forest?
We can talk about volcanoes.
I think this place is really cool. I feel like the amount of hiking that we've done and looking at stuff, I don't think I really... It's hard sometimes to remember that all of the things that happen on the earth are happening all together at the same time and they interact with each other. But when you come here, it's impossible to forget because it's rivers and volcanoes and glaciers. And then it all like comes together and you get these crazy things like that giant blue pool that we went to that was 3 degrees that we tried to sit in.
Yes, we went to blue pool that is it said 38 degrees year round.
Yeah.
Water. And there was a bunch of people jumping in it. There was a bunch of bros jumping in it.
They were really
a bunch of bros brought
out
a football to Blue Pool and didn't use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think that place was, it was that Enchanted Forest, obviously, and other places I won't mention for geographical sensitivity, but the Blue Pool, the Blue Pool, I thought was pretty sick.
Thank you for not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me.
It was a long drive to get here to Enchanted Forest, so.
Yeah, you guys have no idea how many times Austin's doxed me on the pod. And
I know you have to edit it out, and you never told me.
I edit it out every time.
I probably will do it this episode, and if you edit it well enough, nobody will know. See? Now you have to, you like that? Now you have
now
to do it.
Do it.
Now you have to cut it out.
But yeah, there's lots of...
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful place. This whole part of the country is really, really, really
stunning.
I forget
about all the volcanoes, to be honest, until you... Like, you've been reading Wikipedia like a madman the whole time you've
been
here. Everywhere we go, you read the whole Wikipedia article before
top
we get there.
Top three facts I've learned. Actually, you tell me the top three facts I've taught you about where you live.
Blue Pool is 38 degrees.
38 degrees.
I'm reusing that one because I have a horrible memory.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Hood is a volcano, but I think I knew that.
It's the most likely volcano to erupt. Probably, they say there's a 3-7% chance of it erupting in the next 30 years.
Right, yeah.
So there, that's...
You just remember facts, huh? Like, you know the numbers.
I guess so. Yeah, I'm like a calculator for facts.
I wouldn't possibly know the numbers.
I think I read that one this morning, so maybe it's fresh in my mind. I like the one about how Portland has more bridges than anywhere.
Right, but you don't remember the specifics of that one.
No, that's all I can tell
Portland
you.
Portland has the most bridges of something, something, something.
There were qualifiers on it of some, in some respect, but it is called the Bridge City.
Yeah.
So there was at least three that we went over.
Yeah, so I think it's been a decent trip. I've been dragging you into the woods.
Yes, we have gone into the
quite
woods.
Quite a few times, looking at pretty views where we can. Sometimes we end up in a cloud and we can't.
If we
but
wouldn't
that's the vibe.
If we wouldn't have been physically present, what would we have talked about on this podcast? Did you have any like normal podcast topics?
No.
Oh, great. So it's just like a normal show. It's
yeah.
like a regular show then.
No, no plans. I mean, is this not thrilling enough to see me in a cage?
We could probably
on
sit
a swing
here.
In a cage.
Yeah, close the door. Lock yourself in. You'll probably hit the thing. This is a real set. People aren't going to believe it. They're going to think it's green screen. But this is look at this.
They're going to think it's green screen.
This is a real harp.
Look
well,
at our
not a real
props.
Harp, but
I should have closed this, yeah.
Yeah. You can figure it
oh,
out.
Oh, I don't know how. I don't
careful
know
with that key.
If I can. I don't want to break anything.
It's a real swing. This is a real giant chair. There was a real giant sitting in this chair pretty recently. It's a crazy place. Where does that door go?
backstage, probably.
Just into some hole somewhere? Yeah, maybe later.
Okay. Should we bring on our guest?
Yeah, do you guys want to talk to...
Because I feel like we're sitting here speculating about Enchanted Forest, and he's just over there... Knowing everything.
We have like a Wikipedia.
Frustrated.
Do you guys want to talk to a real talented human being who doesn't just sit and yap all the time?
Yeah. Just,
great.
Just two random people yapping. What the is the show?
Okay.
I don't
let's
know if
set
I can
up.
Say I might have to beep that.
Retake. Take two.
Take two. What the heck?
Cut that.
So guys, I'm very excited. We have a very big deal with us here today. Bentley Michaels.
Round of applause.
Round of applause.
It's me.
And we're going to get into, I'm sure, everything that he does, but I know him as the theater guy at Enchanted Forest.
You're the bingo lady.
And I'm I'm part of the bingo crew. The bingo was originally my idea. So usually we come with a bunch of my husband Noah's siblings, and his brother Jake, I think, is the one that originally came up with the theater bingo, because the theater shows tend to reuse some of the same kinds of bits.
Yeah.
And the same
physical
kinds
bits
of
or
humor.
Yeah. Certain jokes are...
And... Since we come every year to make it a little more interactive, he started making these little bingo games that we play on our phones.
It's pretty cool.
Anyway, so I always forget them. I need to remember to like save the bingo cards for next time and like add things to them, because in the moment we're always just making it last minute. But you know, some of the gags include the door slamming, somebody farting,
the butt step fart, yeah,
dancing in a circle holding hands. So things like this that they tend to put into every show. But I'm very excited to talk to you.
Yay.
And ask you about like the creative process, because it's such a mystery. There's I want to know the lore of how it happens.
Well, at this point, like, I mean, I've done this is my fourth time doing Jack and the Beanstalk,
right,
in the, you know, the on and off 25 years I've been out here. It was my very first show.
It was the first show. I was seeing that you've done like over 3,000 shows at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm at like 3,050 something or 3,060 something.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was 18 years old, I graduated high school in 2000, and this was my first, my first out of school job. And my friend who worked out here had worked out here the year before, and she was like, "Oh, you'll love this. It's vaudeville and like a Looney Tune, and like you're basically those things anyway. Yeah. So come out here and do it." So yeah, I auditioned and it was really fun, and it took a year off, and then did 2 years in a row, then took a couple years off because I was like touring with bands and playing drums and all that kind of stuff, and then would come back in like 2005, and then I moved to Los Angeles. I was down there for like 3 years playing drums, going to music school, and then I had a run from like 2010 to 2017, took some time off and came back in 22. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of shows. A lot of hair loss and some weight gain since my younger years, but it still brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of people, not just you guys, but like there's a lot of people that I see daily because I am here 6 days mm-hmm. a week. And I've been on a run. Actually, this is my 11th day in a row at this point. I'll be here for until Monday when it's Labor Day, when it's then it goes back to weekends only in September.
Yeah.
But I see people probably every day almost that are like, "Oh, it's you."
Yeah.
"We were hoping you'd be here."
Mm-hmm.
Or like some kids, like there was a little girl at the second show. She's like, "Do you remember me from last year?" I go, "I don't know. How would I remember you?" And she goes, "You pulled me up and then my clothes looked better than you," because it was Emperor's New Clothes. "My clothes," and "you called me," and she's like, "and you called me," and I was like, "My nemesis?" And she goes, "Yes." She goes, "You do remember me." And had like that little girl walked up to me anywhere else and been like, "Do you remember me?" I'd be like, "Where are your parents?" But also like, I don't have that like thing. But the second I start to like see them or hear them or whatever, I go like, "Oh, I totally remember." And or like during the winter, I was working at this cafe, you know, to keep my steps up. And like this family of mom, dad, and these two little kids, they would like kind of kept looking at me, you know, and they're like, "Are you?" And they just are like, "Are you?" And I go, "The Enchanted Forest guy?" And they're like, "Yes." I go, that's me." And they're like, and I go, "You guys came at the end of July and we took pictures over by the, in the stroller parking area." And they're like, and she like held her phone up. She goes, "Yes. How did you remember that?" I go, "I don't know. You could walk by me like, you know, you walk by me on the street, I wouldn't have known. But the second that like I saw it and just like Matrix upload, I was like, oh, yeah, that."
I was super impressed that like you guys started recognizing us like only the second or third time we did the bingo thing.
Yeah, that's why I want to know. How long have you two known each other? Well, known each other. I guess.
I mean, we don't.
It was a one-way relationship.
I'm in the audience.
This is parasocial.
To life. She, she slid in my DMs like 2 days ago.
Yeah, literally 2 days ago. And, so thank you for doing this.
Yeah, it was like this. Like, no one ever messages me. So like, unless it's like people here, we send each other stupid memes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and also like I did Matilda a couple years ago at the Majestic Theater in Corvallis. And I was just kind of, I just sat away because there's like 40 kids or whatever. And they're like 12 or whatever. And it's like, who wants to deal with them when I'm not getting paid? And like out here is different. But like, I was just kind of sitting in the back, you know, working on my laptop. And this one little girl came up to me and she goes, "Is this us?" And like, she showed me her phone. I go, "Yeah, that's 2013. That's Pinocchio." And she goes, "Oh, wow." And she walks back and I hear her go, "It's him." And like four little girls came. I mean, they're not little, they're like 12, 13, but four girls came up to me and they're like, "Look, me too, me too." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, that's this play. That's this show. That's this mm-hmm. show," whatever. It's neat.
It's so fun. I mean, you like see families grow up, I'm sure, because
the beginning of the year,
come here every year, like us,
the beginning of the year, the strapping young lad came up to me and he was like, "Can we recreate a photo of you and me?" And I go, "Depends." Like, he showed me this photo, and he's like this little kid, and I was like holding him. He's probably like three or four. I'm going like that and like making a silly face. He's like,
he wants you to pick him up again.
And he goes, I want to recreate this photo. I'm going to put them side by side, and it's going to be my Evite to my like graduation party. I was like,
oh, that's so cute.
I was like, all right. I was like, you're gonna have to help me though. You got some muscles on you now. My favorite is like, because I wear the Enchanted Forest hoodie around, mm-hmm. and
same. I also have one. I wear it all the time.
My favorite thing to do. I just did it last night. Like especially when it was like in the 90s. I go to a bar, like a dive bar that's got great AC, and I'll just sit there and like watch shows on my phone and like just drink waters and like rehydrate until like my body temperature drops and it gets cool outside, like when it was like 90 and 100 degrees yeah. last week or whatever.
Yeah, it's been hot.
And I would just be sitting there, and then it's like after a certain point I get cold in there because the AC is rad in there. And I was like, oh, I get cold. I put on my Enchanted Forest sweatshirt, and this lady, like older lady, had a couple pops in her. And she was like, do you work out there? I go, no. I was like, honestly, I've never been. I just like the logo, and I know it's like a local spot, just like right. And they're like, yeah. And this is my favorite part. She goes, yeah. So Robert Tafty, he created the place in 1980. Gosh, what was it? It was like 82, I think. I go, really? It's that old? 1971.
Yeah.
1973, the theater was built. And I was like, really? She goes, yeah, Robert. And I think his son, who unfortunately is no longer with us, he was head of maintenance. And Susan, the lady you were emailing, if mm-hmm. you saw her around on the cart, that's who you were emailing. And then wow. his other daughter, Mary, works in the office.
Yeah.
She does all the business. Scheduling and paperwork and like all that sort of stuff. But he's like, and you know how it happened? I go, no, how did it happen? And he goes, so he, through the forest, he saw like this old house, which is the haunted house. I go, get out of town, really? I was like, didn't they do like a ghost hunt? They're like, yeah, the place is totally haunted. I'm like, no way. I'm like, that's just a real haunted house. They like turn into an amusement thing. They're like, yeah, they took it apart and they did all this stuff. Just like letting her tell me
wow.
all these incorrect facts about Enchanted Forest. And the bartender's like, I'm like talking to her and she's like over the person's shoulder. And I catch her eye and I look over and she's just like shaking her head. And then that lady, she's like, well, anyway, you should check it out sometimes. Pretty cool place. I was like, I will definitely do that.
I didn't know there was like fake lore floating around about Enchanted
Forest. Well, you know,
Forest.
get a couple soda pops yeah. in you and you start thinking real fun stuff. But she like went to the bathroom and my bartender like handed me a beer. She goes, why do you do that? And I was like, because it's fun. I want to see what they'll say.
No, yeah.
And then I come out here and I tell my bosses, they're like, how did they even like get these things?
Yeah, where does
like,
that
how
come
do they
from?
Even think of these things? Because it's like,
there's a whole oh, documentary
Disneyland,
you can watch with the
July,
real facts.
July 17th, 1955 is when it opened.
What? Oh, geez.
This yeah. when what?
July 17th, 1955, Disneyland opened.
July 17th,
1955. Okay.
It's their 70th birthday. Yay!
Okay.
Yes.
Don't go there. Come here.
Wait.
And then...
Do you hate Disneyland?
Disneyland can suck it. No.
Whoa.
Hey, I got a question.
Sure.
How come you play the drums? How did that happen?
How come?
Yeah, where how?
How?
Or,
who,
not how. Sorry,
who,
excuse
where?
Me.
Why?
What were the circumstances that put you in that position?
My uncle's a drummer. My dad's brother, who is not in the military, he blonde hair, long hair, mustache, cool guy, Corvette, motorcycle, always wanted to play the drums. And when I was 12, I like in fifth grade, you know, I started with the school band. And then
what was the name of the band teacher?
Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, shout out to all our band teachers.
That's actually the guy you saw today. He's studying to become a music instructor.
Really?
And the other guy that was sitting up there, Cadence, who's the one who I told him. He's usually on when you guys, the bingo crew comes. I text him last night. I go, bingo crew's coming tomorrow. He's like, what? No way, dude. Like, he goes, on the day that I'm only in the Irish band, he was kind of mad. I was like, ha ha, sucker.
You got to start a bingo crew for the Irish band.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be real
I'm
easy.
I'm not as familiar with the Irish show, unfortunately.
That visually looks hilarious.
This fork?
No, when you...
This is normal.
Here, eat.
This is how we normally do our mics, I think.
What's up?
But yeah, I started playing, and then like when I was 12, I wanted to get like a real kit. And my dad was like, "I did that once before with your uncle. I'll never again." So I started playing guitar because it had headphones.
Sure.
And then bass when I was 16, and then my parents got a divorce when I was 18. I was like, you know what? My dad's too sad to like care right now.
Wait.
So I bought a drum set. I had it for like 2 weeks. And one day he came home early because he did Willamette University's. He was their radio broadcaster for 30 plus years. And he came home early one day. And he's like, and I just look up and I see him standing in my doorway. I'm like, mute the cymbal. I'm like, hi. And he's like, how long have you had these things? I was like, like 2.5 weeks. He's like, you're actually pretty good.
That's what I was wondering.
He's like, just don't play when I get home.
If you got that when you were 18, you, based on what you said earlier, you were touring within a year or two of that, or pretty quick.
Yeah. I was the annoying guitar player that the second we would be on a break, I would sit behind the drum set. Drums has always made sense to me. It's always like I was always lap drumming. So it's 100%. Like the coordination was always there. It always made sense to me.
So were you playing drums when you were touring with these bands?
Uh-huh.
What kind of bands were they?
Your sweet pop punk bands.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Good stuff. Nice. You know. Can you tell us any one family friendly, no bad things in the stories from touring? Or is it all non-family friendly?
Crazy.
Back in my pop punk
time
days.
I feel like to go touring, because I did some touring with bands, but like around like 2008 to 2012-ish, like so, like,
yeah,
about
I did,
10
yeah,
years
some there too.
And I feel like that all the stories I would hear from the people in the generation
no, we
before,
were very well. See, here's the deal, is that like my first band when I was like 19, we were called My Favorite Band. You're welcome.
That's such a good pop punk band's name.
And at the time, like, the only places that really did shows, at least around here, there was a lot of, like, church shows. So we were a Christian band.
So many of them were. So many of them back then were.
We have just talked on the pod recently about how a lot of, like I guess Paramore maybe started as a Christian band, like,
yeah,
supposedly.
Yeah, but I think their values and beliefs are still in that arena.
They were earnestly like semi-Christian, I feel like.
And like
non-denominational.
But
there's several of these bands that I didn't know were actually supposed to be Christian groups.
Yeah, like the big record label Tooth and Nail, you know, MXPX was my jam. Still is my jam. I'm going to go over to Bend, I think, and see them at the amphitheater over there at the end of September. But yeah, a lot of those Tooth and Nail bands, like Slick Shoes was another one that I really loved. But, you know, they were never like really hit you over the head about it. But then like, I just call them the Warped Tour bands. Like then it's because like you'd see somebody wearing like a shirt. So like in the first MXPX cassette when I got it, which is how long ago it was, they were wearing like a NoFX and a Rancid shirt. So
NoFX
I was like,
is classic.
Then I got in a band with these two brothers. That band kicked me out. My favorite band. We'd become.
Do you
want to
tell
else.
That story or no? It's
oh,
been a long time.
It was just like
we had to kick someone out of a band once. It's always fun.
It was just like the movie Rockstar. Like I came to like all right, we lost our drummer. His name is Andrew, or our guitar player. So we became Losing Andrew. It was a three-piece. We wrote a whole bunch of new songs. And then he came back, but he wanted to play drums instead. So that's how I actually got started. It's like these two, Adam and Andrew, they were in a different band. And then my buddy Cody and I, we were in a band. And they were like, I was like, oh, guitar? They're like, no, he's going to play guitar. And I was like, but he plays drums. And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, so what do you need? I'm like, I was like, singer, bass? They're like, no, singer, bass. I was like, so you need a drummer? They're like, yeah. I was like, Andrew, let me borrow your drums. So I borrowed his drums, and that was on a Friday, and I came back on a Monday. And I was like, okay, when do you want to play? And we start practicing 2 days later. And then I still have our first four song. We recorded it 6 months into me being a drummer. And I got to say, for being a quote-unquote drummer for 6 months, holds up, in my opinion.
Would you like to say the name of that song so we can...
The song is called Shiver Robe.
Okay. Why is that making you laugh so much?
Just because it's a stupid name for a song.
It's like an innuendo I'm not understanding.
I don't even... It had like a very kind of like Slick Shoesy like opening guitar riff to it. Like from the Burnout record. And so it's like it does that all the time. We were trying to figure out if there's rhyme or reason. Maybe it's the ghosts. Who knows?
Right.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, from the Hunt.
But... yeah, I forgot what I was saying, and we're good.
That's fine. Can I ask about the theater show a little bit?
Yeah,
because I'm so curious.
Yeah, anything you want.
So obviously, it sounds like everybody kind of has other things that they do at other parts of the year because it's a seasonal job, right?
Most of them
Enchanted Forest,
they're all students.
Is open what? From what months is it open?
We're open from spring break, and then we do like 9 days, a week and a half or something for spring break, and then it's weekends only until whatever the weekend in June is where the kids get let out of school, and then it's 7 days a week until Labor Day, and then it's weekends only in
so
September.
It's really only summer break that it's
like
open
two and a half months,
every day. So how soon do you start like writing the shows? How does
all the
that
shows
work?
Are all written, they're all written by Sue, all the music that you hear
okay,
in
okay,
those
okay.
shows.
I was curious about the music.
shows in the park and in the shows are all written and composed and performed by her. So every every piece of music you hear in the park is hers.
And so are there how many shows are there?
I forget exactly how she says it, but we're the like the only theme park or whatever that does not have to pay any sort of royalties to like ASCAP and BMI or something like that.
Right, because everything's made in-house.
Everything's ours. And like I remember she told me the story once, and I'm not going to get it fully right, but it was basically like the ASCAP people or whatever did not believe her. That they're like, well, you got to have, like, no, everything is. And so they would like come out here and they would like, you know, they would come out here and.
It's people on the log ride.
People on the log ride. Well, what's funny there, sometimes I get it. And I was really bummed out it didn't work for your show because like log ride went down for like a half hour or something. Oh. But sometimes I can hear like when it does. You've been on log ride, right?
Once.
So there's that first sort of dip where like roller coasters before you go around the corner to do the big drop.
I think, yeah.
So but when it goes up, you can hear the click, click, click of like the roller coaster thing. So like that section of the show where I'm going like, you know, there goes our yearly trip to the Enchanted Forest. And if I'm starting that stuff and I can hear click, click, click.
Yeah.
I will sometimes say the Mondor thing first. Or sometimes it'll happen and like I'll speed up my lines. So because I know from the click, 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 it's 7.5 seconds to drop. And then about a second and a half before you hear the sort of sound and people start screaming. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of like, I just kind of know it. And then I'll be like, no splashdown on the log ride. And I point over and you just hear, and then I do that and it goes.
Epic. That's epic.
And the audience, dude, when that happens, it's you think I would have invented the
That's
world
amazing.
Or something.
Yeah.
The audience is like, what did you win? There was another time, like it was like 2 years ago during Snow White. There's park cats, I guess, you know, and one of them was taking a nap.
Really? I've never seen a cat.
Well, they hide during the day. It was like taking a nap or whatever, like over on the side of our stage. And we go over there to do like the it's like draw the curtains and like, you know, he was to have the notebook or whatever. And he opened that and that thing zipped out underneath his legs and like scared me and like took off just running. And like we looked at each other and then afterwards this bozo came up to me and he's like, oh, man, that cat thing is crazy. How'd you train it to do that? I go, we didn't. It was an accident. I didn't even know a cat was there. The other one that happened this year, sometimes there's bats.
Oh.
And they'll fly around on stage. Yeah. And like it was flying around on stage and like I'm on those stilts. I'm like
during the show.
It's just zipping around. And again, same type of guy came up. He's like, oh man, how'd you train that bat to do that? And I'm like, how did I train a bat? What are you, crazy? Get out of here.
We don't have bat training money.
we don't have bat wranglers.
We don't have bat wranglers in Enchanted Forest. So how many shows are there then?
There's 8, I believe.
8?
It's Cinderella,
I feel like I've been
Cinderella
every year
Emperor's New Clothes, Snow
repeats.
White, Jack and the Beanstalk, Red Riding Hood, Hansel and Gretel, Princess and the Pea, and Pinocchio.
Okay.
Yeah, there
Which
we go.
Which ones haven't you seen? Which ones haven't you seen?
Which ones haven't you seen?
I can't remember if I've seen Pinocchio.
Well,
I don't know.
Come back next year.
Is that next year?
Possibly.
Okay. Is there a nose-growing mechanic planned?
Oh, there is.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to give it away.
Okay, yeah.
But there's three different noses that show up within the span of about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the shows and the songs are already written.
Mm-hmm.
So have there, like, when was the last time one was added? Has that been the same, like, the whole time you've worked here?
Well, the last time we did this show, the first song, the magic song that the Carney sings,
yeah.
2014 was the last time we did Jack and the Beanstalk. That was the first time that we did it on stilts. It used to be his smaller, meaner cousin Marvin, and it was the same costume. I just had like big plastic clown shoes, and then there wasn't a live cow. It was like a rope, and then the cow and the Gertie, the golden goose. She actually played the mom. Mm-hmm. And but then she got stilts and I can't remember what show she saw, but she got inspired and she wrote the magic song. And then she put us on stilts And I had to go down with some, because they're drywall still. So I had to go to some like down in Salem over by the airport and like the industrial area and like learn from these guys that were like certified and stilts or whatever.
You look like a pro on the stilts.
Thank you. I've gotten a lot better at it. It's actually really fun. It's really, really fun. And no, I've never fallen.
That's good.
But also a lot of some of these shows have like singular mechanics that don't necessarily show up in other ones. The only other show that this cage shows up in, but it's like,
I was going to say, this is the first time I've seen the cage this
year. We candy cane it, and it's the cage in Hansel and Gretel that the witch traps the kids in.
Have you seen that witch in that house over there?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's really scary.
Wait, which one? Man. There's lots of witches.
Yeah, but the one in the Hansel and Gretel house was like seriously frightening. Yeah. Like, would give me anxiety.
It was you can definitely tell it was like an earlier thing. Some of them are, some of the older stuff in here, like you look at certain, some of the design stuff, I'm like, dude, that is scary. And I've seen it thousands of times.
And did you, wait, where'd you grow up? Here.
Yeah.
So you came here.
I graduated from McNary and Kaiser.
So you came to the Enchanted Forest?
Never. I've never been here as a guest since. I'd never come here before I started working here.
Oh, so how'd you see the witch? Oh, after you started working
here. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you walk around the park.
Okay.
Get silly. But yeah, the cage moves and it goes to the center, like where this is instead. This is the only time this large chair is used, as in this show. Then, like, in Hansel and Gretel, like, the door actually comes off and is attached to another piece. And we have the curtains closed like they are now. And if you look on the stage, there's two little holes.
I got to see Hansel and Gretel. I don't think I've seen that one either.
I have a one day I came in, my buddy Seth and my buddy Jordan were here. And, like, they were on stage. And Jordan's just, like, looking at me. I'm like, what? I was like, am I here the wrong day? Because we both were playing The Witch that year. And I was like, am I here on the wrong day or something? And he goes, no. All the girls are sick or called out. So it's going to be Hansel and Greg. And I go, oh, that's cool. And he's like, he goes, I convinced Sue that you should be Greg. I was like, oh, because you don't want to like learn it? He goes, And I was at 9:30 in the morning. And so like it's weird though, like how much you actually kind of know the stuff.
Oh, sure.
Because like it was like a month ago, all the girls were sick or gone. And I had to play the cow and goose. Sue called me at 8:45.
The cow and the goose.
Yeah, I was the female part. It was like 8:45 at night. My boss, Sue's calling me. I'm like, hello. And I just came in and did it, and it was fun. It was a 4-show day. Like today, it was awesome.
Do you ever call out sick?
No,
never.
You're
just built like that.
I work here every day but Wednesday, usually, but sometimes on Wednesday if somebody I know is coming out and they want to see me, and then I've called out. Twice was for migraines, and one was because I had to take my dad to the airport. So I think 4 or 5 times this entire summer.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just the person who is the, what do they call it?
He's the guy. He's the guy.
Understudy, kind of.
Oh, my understudy. I have an understudy. His name is Josh. He actually has worked out here the longest. He's worked here for 24 years. Or something like that, since like 2003.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what keeps you so dedicated to Enchanted Forest?
I love this place so much. It's so weird.
I love
weird.
It too.
And it's like, I don't really come here because I see it so much, because I'm able to kind of like, especially if there's like a guest involved, like usually the workers will like, they'll let me go through the haunted house, or like, you know, I've gone on a rides with people or whatever, like people that like in costume and stuff like that. And like, you know, or like, you know, gone, you know, into Mondor with people or whatever it is, done stuff. And so it's like I get to experience it and I get to do it pretty much,
yeah.
You know, six, 7 days a week.
Yeah. What I love about this place and the theater show is just like, I think it's like deeply important to just be as silly as possible.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's like such an important part of life, is to like just let that part of you out.
Yeah.
So I love that you guys like just do all these silly bits.
I've got a gold badge on my backpack that says Silly Goose.
Yeah.
And I making people laugh is so much, brings me so much joy.
It looks so fun.
Like, you know, and like you know, we were a little looser with the show you saw today. Like some messing with some of the audience. Like if you would have been at the second show, this lady in the front row was like just she, because you're allowed to bring food into the park, and she was just chowing like this bag of huge bag of Doritos. And so I, like, as the mother, I went over and I was like, can I have one? She goes, yeah. And she went like this to hold the, and just dumped like half of the bag like onto the dirt. And I went, I was like, don't you worry about it. I just reached down into the dirt, grabbed a handful, and just started eating chips and doing the rest of the scene or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, or it's like, you know, it's, while some of the improv parts that, you know, if you've only seen the show once, look like there's a general structure to them. But then certain things happen, and like, you know, sometimes how people talk back or whatever, or in, or like yesterday there was a dude sitting on the railing right next to the sign that says no sitting on the rail. And so like after the Carney song, after that first song, when I'm doing like, everyone's going to scream as loud as we possibly can, the count to three, and I go, and hold on real quick. And I went over and I looked at, I go, and I pointed at the sign, and I like looked, and I was like, do not sit on or near railing. Huh. And he like leaned back and like looked. I was like, yeah, I was just making sure it was still there. And then like everyone started laughing. And then he like, I felt so bad for him. And he was like, oh, okay. And he stood up, and then his phone fell out of his pocket. It just hit the cement. I was like, oh man, I really hope his phone didn't break. Because then he would, and afterwards, it was the same group yesterday. And afterwards, Parker was like, dude, that guy was, looked so mad at you after his phone dropped. Like, he was fine with the initial joke, but once he goes, I don't know if it broke or not. I was like, gosh, I hope not.
Do you think that power dynamic, because I was thinking of you talking about, you know, punk music, pop punk music, early 2000s playing in bands versus what you're doing here. Does that power dynamic between you and the audience, where you have that kind of like, you can basically improvise within certain boundaries and you have like total control. Does it, like, what's the Venn diagram overlap between playing drums in a pop punk band in the early 2000s versus what you do now? What is there, like, a thread there? Because to me, when you say that, it kind of reminds me of like that front man dynamic with an audience sort of thing. And that's true of all performance.
Yeah, I was definitely the most front man drummer there was. Drummer,
right, exactly. And that's, as soon as I remember drummer, I was like, well, that's not going to be the thing.
It was
just like, do you see any threads?
Oh, this is where we got sidetracked earlier, how they kicked me out. Andrew came back, and so I switched up to guitar. And I was like, cool, I'll play guitar. And then the band Lit, you know, my own worst enemy, they were very popular. Like, we want to write more kind of like rock poppy, kind of like Lit. And I was like, okay. And so like I would bring in song ideas or whatever. And they're like, no. And one day I just transposed a Lit song into a different key and kind of changed a couple of rhythm. And I was like, I was like, that's this song. It's just right here. And I was like, what do you? And they're like, you know what? And then we got into it. And I was like, you want me out? Sounds good. I was like, and I had the van. And I was like, that's fine. Let me just grab my stuff and I'll get out of your hair so you guys can practice. Little did they know that the guitar amp was mine, that the bass amp was mine, that the drum set was
this
mine.
This is such a classic band dynamic.
And so it's everyone, like, I just start packing stuff up, and then I came in, like, I took my guitar and stuff out first, and like my Marshall half stack, and took that out.
And they're like, oh, wait.
And then I came back and I looked around, and I go, And they were just still sitting there, like, and I go, what else am I? Oh, right. So I like unplugged the bass and I took the head off of it and then walked out, and then I grabbed the cab, walked, and like they were like, and I could see it dawn on their face. And then I like went over, just slowly started gingerly breaking down the drums. I was like, gang, I was like to the drummer, hey, can you hand me my cymbal bag? Yeah, sweet. And then like just start putting my cymbals in, start breaking stuff down, taking it out, and then like left the bass drum to last. And I was like, and he was just and he was sitting there. I go, yeah, I'm going to need that drum thrown. And he goes, oh, right. And he stood up. I go, thanks, bud. And then I like looked around. They had a guitar amp, a singular PA speaker, because the other half of the PA was mine. And I was like, I'm going to leave the mic stand because it's broken, but know that I could take it. Have a great band practice. See you later. And I got in my car and left.
Do you know what happened? Did they keep having a band, or do you like, not my monkeys, not my circus?
They gave up.
So do you see any overlap with what you do now and what you're doing then? Or does it feel completely different?
It's definitely like always showmanship stuff, because like, and I would use the mentality, because like, again, we watch shows and like, you know, Sue will give us notes on the shows. And so like I would record every show we did. And I would go back and watch it, and I would take notes like out here, and I go, okay, our set list, this died here, this thing here, like, we're not doing this, this didn't sound good, tempo's weird here, that's my fault, da da da. And the next band practice, I would go over all the notes with my bandmates, which they probably hated.
No, the last thing musicians want to do is get better at being musicians. Every time.
But then it's like, we would play with the same group, and then one day we like start blowing the other bands out of the water, and they were like, dude, when did we get like good at this? I was like, it's the notes. It's like cognitively understanding. And so then like, and I do remember there's this one time we were doing a battle of the bands, and it was a different band I was in called American Barricade, and there was a 3-piece, and it was to open for Vince Neil's solo thing at, and I had like breakaway pants, and then I had like little cheerleader Adidas shorts, size 5 back then. And and so it's like I would wear like rock, like the tall white tube socks with like the 2 colored stripes on them. And I would like take my shirt off because I had, super in shape back then, had a 6-pack, abs for days. And then I would pop up during like this like breakdown part where it's just like the guitar, and I would just pop the breakaways off, so it was always silliness. And
so good over that, those types of things, I guess, is what I was trying. I was curious about.
It was always like jokes, and like my bass player and I would always goof around like behind the scenes and annoy the crap out of our guitar player.
That makes sense.
And it's always showmanship or silly stuff or whatever. Or like even in that production of Matilda a couple years ago, like I was my legs start to itch after a while in these tights.
Itch away.
No, I realize I'm like going like this, and no, it probably looks really great on
all
camera.
Itch. We can all.
But like I was doing, that production of Matilda, and there was a part where the trench bowl comes in through the audience, like blows a whistle, and scares the crud out of like everybody. And there was like this mom and her 2 kids like in the lobby watching on the TV, and they're like, "Oh, watch out!" So I go, I was like, "Is everything okay? Like, is someone sick?" And they're like, "No, but someone just had to use the bathroom, and like, we can't go back in until intermission." I was like, "Well, that's 45 minutes away, and I won't allow that. Come here, come with me." And so then Enchanted Forest kicked in, and so like, I was like, "Okay, now when I open the door, I'm gonna have to blow this whistle really loud. I'm gonna be mean to you, but I don't mean it, okay?" And the little kids are like, "Okay, okay." I was like, "So play along, act scared or whatever." And so then blow the whistle, and I was like, "Oh, look who I found in the lobby! Wonderful, hurry up! Where are you seating? Good, let's move it." Move it along. And I like sat them in their seats or whatever. And I was like, "No, please take your time. It's not as if there's a show going on." And Sue, my boss, was there that night and saw me do that. And I was like, the kids on stage, they're so confused. Like, what is happening? And then I kick back into the show.
Yeah.
And then like, improv and then skills. I just go back into Matilda. And my boss or my director, he's from out here. And so during intermission, came backstage. He's like, "Great Enchanted Forest bit." And then Sue afterwards, she was like, "Love the Enchanted Forest part of the show." And I was like, it's so just ingrained who I am. Like, I'm either one of 2 things. I'm either a lunatic on stage running around. I was telling them earlier today that like a lot of my physicality and certain things that I do are just Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown or as Uncle Fester. Like a lot of things like the long movements or certain ways that I slide, like the mom where I slide in on the 1 foot and the 1 leg's up, that's him leaving 1.21 gigawatts and then like takes off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he like picks 1 leg up and takes off. And what the heck's a gigawatt? And there's certain things that I just do. And then also like being a tap dancer and that sort of stuff, there's certain dance moves and stuff that I've picked up from guys along the way that, I love. There's a step that, like in the solo dances, like there's always like, we always like have a bar.
Yeah.
Like when I'm not in stilts, I would do this Gene Kelly step. That's like this kind of crossover kick up, like air hitch kick thing that he does in Singing in the Rain and that sort of stuff. There's always little things I throw in, especially also like if I know that there's like a dancer or like for you guys, like, I don't normally do a Donald Trump, and that's not normally the line. He's like, "You're 24 karat gold egg," but I was like, "Let's do that. See if we can make her laugh." And then I was like, I hear there's a lot of gold out here in the forest. It's wonderful gold, everybody. And because she laughs every time I do that, I saw her shoulders start to like, I could see her like shaking a little bit, And I was like, "Got her, good." Yeah, you just start to screw around, especially with only a couple days left in the season or whatever. Yeah. You just start getting goofy.
You did not just do that. Did you catch it?
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
This guy's got every skill.
Why? Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay. Well, what are you doing these days besides Enchanted Forest?
Besides talking to you?
What's up?
Yeah. Like, do you have anything you want to plug?
I do voiceover for film, television, radio, and video games.
Oh, sick. Mm-hmm. Video games.
Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
it's crazy because we technically both have YouTube channels about video games, uh-huh. but then we do this podcast 99% not about video games.
Right.
So it's funny when there's a random thread that brings it back around somehow to games.
I am working on an 8-episode podcast that'll be a scripted full music sound effects superhero audio show called Superhero Satire. And it's like basically, instead of like the Portland Trailblazers or whatever, every town has a Justice League and they do reality television, but they're all set for different themes. So ours, when it, the league that we follow, it started and it was more like Batman 66, Adam West when it started. And now it's sort of coming into like its 80s, early 90s era of like Michael Keaton, Batman, that kind of thing. So it's like, it's going to have that. And then like, you know, certain cities have the Nolanverse and they're rebooting a character that died. And it was the son of our Superman and Wonder Woman, Captain Handsome and Gorgeous Gal. Their son, Kid Courageous.
Captain Handsome and Gorgeous Gal.
Their son, Kid Courageous, died on camera, but everyone was just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's part of the TV show. And so, like, during the winter last year, I wrote, hand wrote in a notebook, probably about close to 500 pages.
Wow.
And with a pencil, just sitting at the bar, drinking soda pops and watching the hockey season. And just handwriting. And now I'm digitizing everything and giving it a light rewrite.
Have you ever slept in here?
Yes.
Overnight?
Not overnight.
Oh, okay.
Because they've got... it's funny you say that. They've got cameras everywhere.
I was just thinking that. Actually.
And they've got motion sensors.
I feel like you could
sensors.
Sit in here all night and whatever, but...
It would just, you know, the bathroom thing. Be. I mean, I probably could as long as I didn't have to potty.
Yeah.
But... you could technically. It's just I would get bored. There's no Wi-Fi. You know, I got to watch my programs.
Got to have your soda pops and watch hockey games.
Guys, grocery games. You know,
Guy Fieri.
Oh, that Guy Fieri. What a silly.
You said
Billy.
There's motion sensors all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to follow? We can be done. I'm sorry, but I could talk about this all day. Do they have to follow all the same rules that Disneyland has to follow? Probably. There's got to be some kind of. Not that you need to know this.
Disney is a very special thing. Here's something that sort of they send their maintenance people to a special like a training for like roller coasters and what you know certified so they can work on and repair them.
Do you
whatever.
Know who's number one roller coaster people in the world? Mm-hmm. Germans. Do you know that?
Yes.
Germans. They build all the rides.
So it's like. Like, you know, like Six Flags, Mall of America, Dollywood, us, ours, they all go there to this thing in Texas. The only people that don't show up is Disney. They've got their own private train. So I don't know what the rules are. You know, they have their. But years ago when Mondor was first happening, a bunch of their Imagineers came up because it's a trackless. It's basically scans barcodes on the floor and tells the car where to go.
I was wondering how it was doing that.
Yeah.
Because it was like the new one in Disney that it doesn't like have a track. Kind
exactly.
Of, like it can turn
so
and
they
stuff.
Came up here, I think it was like 15, 16 years ago, something like that. They come up here and looked at that, see how it works.
Huh.
And then you start seeing more Disney rides. I'm not saying that we, you know, invented it for them because it's this company, I think, in the Netherlands that made
I told
the
you, though,
cars
not,
and stuff in
the Germans.
Mondor.
I'm sure that's offensive to the Netherlanders, but.
The Netherlanders.
All right. Can I rapid fire a few questions at
yeah,
you?
Yeah, absolutely. Hit me.
Favorite tropical nation?
None. Don't like the sun.
Okay, based. Favorite airplane?
I'm going to have to go with B-52 Bomber because my grandfather built them in World War II.
Whoa, shout out. Favorite ride at the Enchanted Forest?
Log ride.
Least favorite ride at the Enchanted Forest?
The Witch's Slide.
Favorite co-star? No, we're not going to do that. That's true. Here, if you have any reference.
The two you saw today.
There you go. Good answer.
I do think we're over time, but I have one final question, which is maybe advice for the audience / also advice for me. It sounds like you have done like every type of performing for your whole life, basically.
Pretty much.
And you do a lot of improv, mm-hmm. which is something that I'm a little bit terrified of because I get a little bit of stage fright. So I guess my question is like any advice you have on how to be comfortable in front of an audience?
You just have to do it.
That's all it is.
You just got to get up there and do it, man. Because, like, I mean.
Do you get nervous?
No.
I said that loud because I know I'm far from the mic.
Out here, no.
Yeah.
Not even when it's like, I don't know if I know
I can't
the
imagine
part.
You would after doing so many shows.
It's more I get excited nervous
Wait,
other than that.
What's the least number of people that is ever in the audience for these shows?
I've done it we did it last year on a rainy day for a grandmother and her granddaughter who sat at the top.
Oh my God. Is it more or less fun with less people? Or just different?
It depends on the audience. Because like you guys were the smaller audience, the small size we had today, but we still had fun. But then there's also days like when it's like 100 degrees and it's that size of audience and everyone's just sitting there toasted and they're right. just like...
Were the nothing. Grandmother and kid clapping and...
Oh, they were great.
Participating?
Yeah. They were great.
Nice. Okay. Well, I think that's probably the end of the pod.
Yay!
Wait, say a fact that comes into your mind right now.
I have a size 10 and a half shoe.
There you go. That's your ending.
Incredible. Thank you so much for being on the show. This has been an incredible episode of GLHF. Thank you, everybody. See you next time.